Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. We are starting the week off right, I am telling you. It's a fantastic film, a documentary film coming out in about a week's time, and we've got two of the producers from the film. The film is Inmate Number One, The Rise of Danny Trejo, and today I'd like to welcome Jode Cardinal and Adam Scorgi. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey.
Good.
Awesome. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
Love the intro song, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Awesome.
You know, it's funny when we change those up. We haven't changed it in about a year now. What it is, I get these CDs with all this royalty-free stuff on it, you know, because you kind of have to do that if you're on iTunes or any of that kind of stuff. And so I'm going through about, 3,000 little 30-second bits. And I think at about 2,784, I heard that kind of surf western type thing. And I'm like, that's it. That's it. My ears were bleeding from all the. Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you. Hey, I was now, you guys have, like I said, got this fantastic film coming out, and it's about a week out. But also, I was looking through my show notes here, and, I mentioned it right before we came on the air off mic, but you guys have the coolest jobs in the world. You're working in film, and you're making it happen. How cool is that? How did this happen? Did you guys always know you were going to get into this?
Well, I think, Jamie, it's one of those, people are starting to know our work now, and they're like, man, you guys just blew up. And we're like, yeah, just accidental 15 years of grinding, and it's starting to all click, right? We've been doing this, I mean, Jode even longer than me, right? We've been at this for almost two decades, fortunate enough to be making documentaries that, have connected with audiences since standard definition days. I don't even know if, young audience members know what that means anymore. It was before HD and Ultra HD. We used to shoot on these large standard definition cameras. That's kind of the tandem Jode and I have been fortunate enough to create, is really find a way to be able to tell these remarkable stories that we're very passionate about telling and be able to make a living doing it. I agree with you. I think we have, to me, I truly have when people ask, do you love what you do? I was like, I truly have my dream job. I wouldn't want to change too much about it. Maybe not so many critics, and maybe make a little bit more money so you're not stressing between project to project. But, getting to travel the world and tell these incredible stories is, it truly is a dream come true. And to see them kind of like the success with Inmate, land a studio deal and get the release and the press it's getting is it truly is a dream come true.
Well, I mean, it really is. I have a lot of indie filmmakers and people associated with independent film on the show. That's the dream, land a studio, get a studio involved, a major studio. And you guys did that. you got to wake up with a smile on your face for that. Or is it even more pressure now because you have to, you're like, okay, we've reached this goal. Now we always have to do that. Is there a little bit of that involved now looking forward?
Well, Jamie, I'd say for myself, no, actually, I don't feel the pressure. It feels like you've reached the top of the mountain, and right now we're just enjoying it. It's so hard to get to this place. And we've done, we've done worldwide Netflix stuff, and that's super exciting. But right from the beginning, as Adam said, for the last 20 years, there wasn't a Netflix when you started. So it was the studio model that you were always trying to get to. And, very proud that, Ice Guardians was our Netflix worldwide. I guess the Culture Hive was the first one, but the studio is really fun, and I'm just soaking it in. They do a lot of it at this point. A lot of our other films, we released all the various windows ourselves and just slowly but surely chipped away at it. So this one's just fabulous that we can sit back, enjoy the ride, speak with people like yourselves and the fans of Danny, and have a great time with it. So that's how I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I second
what Joe's saying there, James. Sorry to go. It's been so fun just enjoying the ride and letting the machine handle it versus us, like, oh, we got to get this. We got to grind here. We got to get this guy to push it. Like, it's nice to just wake up and everybody being like, dude, I can't look anywhere without seeing promo for your film. You guys are everywhere. You're in the zeitgeist. It's like, yeah, we get to geek out and just like, I'm like, really? Send me that link. That's cool. Send me that over. Wow. We're in, like, I even text one of our other producers today. I'm like, sigh. I'm like, we're in the Hollywood Reporter again for like the third time. It's like, we couldn't beg the Hollywood Reporter to cover our films 2 years ago, right? So it's, yeah, we're just high-fiving and enjoying the ride for sure.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
That's awesome. That is so cool. That is so cool because, you know, I'm not in the movie business. I am just a movie fan. I don't know. Some of my friends would say super fan. You mean I'm that guy that, you know, has built the outdoor movie theater in my backyard and make my friends watch movies with subtitles and stuff and documentaries and what have you. But I get excited. I am very jealous of you guys. I'm a painter by trade, and you know that's not that exciting. But you guys are making films, and like you said, hanging out in the Hollywood Reporter. That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. But it wasn't. you say, you know, 20 years and whatnot, and you guys have made some really, I'm looking at the list here, you guys have made some fantastic films. How do you go about, like, picking a subject matter? Do they come to you, people send the scripts to you, or do you say, you know what, we need to do a documentary about, you know, such and such? How does that work?
Adam, why don't you talk about the sexy part, and I'll talk about the unsexy part of that.
Okay. Well, Jamie, with, you know, for our first several docs, we created concepts, right? That, you know, you have to go to the path of least resistance when you're building your resume and your name. It's hard to just say, like, hey, we're an indie group from Canada. Can we come film you? People aren't jumping on board to be like, sure. So you have to kind of go the path of least resistance. So our first few projects, you know, the cannabis docs were stuff that was around us and then expanded to internationally, and then Ice Guardians, went to high school with a lot of NHLers. So those stories we developed and pushed them and fought to get them, you know, greenlit. And now, you know, we're starting to get projects that are coming to us. Like Bisbing was brought to us from two producers, two of our producing partners, Gabriel Napora and Yaz Talat. And then Inmate Number One was one of our producers, Rocky Medalliar. I was working on a movie with him down in Utah called Juarez 2045, which turned into Cartel 2045. And he was like, hey, Adam, we, you know, you should really do a story about Danny. And like, I only knew Danny as the actor then. And I was kind of like, man, to do a feature doc, it takes more than just being a cool actor and a nice guy. And then Rocky was like, man, you need to read his story. And then when you find out Danny's story that, you know, he was doing heroin when he was 12, armed robberies when he was 13. He served 10 years in federal prison, was facing execution, and then turned his life around to become a drug counselor. And then, you know, by helping others, he wound up finding himself on the movie set of Runaway Train and now is arguably the most successful Mexican-American actor in Hollywood history. Like, you can't script something that, you know, miraculous. And so we were like, we have to tell this story. But now, fortunately, like, especially with the press of this, when, you know, one of the things now that we're seeing where, like, it's everywhere, right? Like, you just put Danny Trejo into Google and hit news, and everything is about the documentary right now. Like, Jode and I are trying to catapult that into our next project, obviously, right? Like, the old Hollywood saying is, like, you got to strike while it's hot, right? Well, our director and our team is in, like, every media thing. We are trying to hit that hard. So, well, I'll let Joe jump in on the less sexy but more important part of how to finance films and how to make them, because you can't keep making films if your investors and your team aren't continually making money, right? The old investment stream of like, oh, I'll just go to a billionaire and hopefully the film makes it, and if it doesn't, he loses money, he's okay with it. Those business days are done, right? With film funds and tax credits and everything now, you can't fund projects like that now. They have to be a regular business where – you know, you put money in, you're going to make your money back.
Yeah, absolutely. And to follow up with that, Adam, so my background's always on the business side of things. And I'd like to say that I'm very creative in the business space. But, you know, being around guys like Adam and Brett Harvey, the director, is just, it's incredible to see what they can do. So really, my job has just been, you know, making sure that the content in front of me is placed properly. And I started 20 years ago selling Air Bud movies. I don't know if you remember those. They're family movies where
the dog played
basketball, played baseball. Yeah, you basically, there was not much cool factor in that. However, it taught me, you know, how to look for a market and really capitalize on that. So with Adam, he kept grabbing these really, we'll call them niche content films. And we believed that there was a large market there if you could just attack it. And then digital media happened and the game just changed. So we could make something that felt a little smaller, but reach millions of people. And when you're trying to get into that film space, you know, it's very difficult at the beginning to get huge budgets and just bring in a celebrity like Danny. So Adam did a great job finding that. And we didn't give up on our projects. We've mentioned Ice Guardians. Ice Guardians is this perfect example of a huge market, but film distributors didn't understand NHL hockey, let alone NHL hockey fighters. They were even saying like, oh, we really like your NBA film. And we're like, it's NHL. So that we held on to ourselves. And we called and booked theaters all over the U.S., all over Canada, all over the U.K., and release this completely on our own, knowing that hockey fans were like, just loved the fighting aspect of it and wanted to learn more from the mouth of the players. So, you know, we've just kind of made a lot of really, sometimes it's cool to go with a big company, but if they don't represent your film well, you're not getting paid back, you don't make your investor happy, and you don't do another film. So we've just kept our projects nice and tight, pushed against that niche market, and then fortunately, you get this crossover with someone like Danny Trejo, and now you have a studio putting all their energy behind it, putting it all through the channels like The Hollywood Reporter and Ozzy Osbourne's tweeting about it, and you know, references are made on SNL, and it just, everything changes. Right. So you kind of build up to that and understand what to hold on to and what to let go. And here we are today, having a blast.
That's amazing.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Do you have flood insurance through the National Flood Insurance Program? Was your property damaged by the recent flooding? Then you need to file a claim with your insurance agent. Policyholders only have 60 days from the date flood damage occurred to file a claim. Remember, before rebuilding or making repairs, contact your local building official to obtain proper permits. Make sure to document damage through photos or video and immediately start the cleanup process. For information, visit floodsmart.gov/start or call 1-800-427-4661.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
That's amazing. Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting because with a lot of filmmakers, I think that there's this, especially new filmmakers. I shouldn't say all filmmakers, new filmmakers, people getting into the business. They have that kind of Quentin Tarantino myth, you know, that they're just going to make something and it's going to be discovered, and they're flying around dating models next week. And you guys obviously. That isn't the case. And everyone I know that makes films, that isn't the case. Maybe that happens once in a million times, but it seems that there's just an, if I'm reading between the lines properly with what you guys are saying, a ton of work. You know, get ready for 17-hour days, guys, because that's what these guys are doing for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it becomes your identity. And at the beginning, as you said, it's kind of like you geek out and it feels neat because you're going to film festivals and, you know, maybe your films aren't doing so well, like everyone's buying them, but you're kind of getting paid and cool. You know, it feels just really neat what you're doing. But yeah, it becomes everything you do all the time. So you do have to love it. And I think people who fall out of the industry, you know, really got in it for the wrong reason. They just thought of the glamour and not of like that dedication and just the pure joy of making something and putting it on screen and sharing it with the world.
Well, it's fantastic. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, Jamie, I was just going to say, to follow up what Jode said, I think you hit the nail on the head there, where something Jode and I connected really early, and that's why, you know, we worked so good as a team, is that, you know, we really understand the business side of it. Joe was in the sales side of it, and I kind of learned the financing part of it, which is funny because I was always the guy that was in, like, the worst math classes ever, right, that you got made fun of. But understanding film financing to make it a proper business model really clicked for me on how to do that. Because so many filmmakers, like, their plan is, okay, I'm going to make this film, it's going to get into Sundance, and the whole world's going to open for me. I was like, well, Sundance last year had 15,000 submissions, and they picked less than 200 films. So good luck with that, right? To put in perspective, Jode and I, like I said, we've been doing this for almost two decades. I've produced 10 feature docs. Not one of them has ever got into Sundance, and not one of them has even ever gotten into the top tier festivals, Sundance, TIFF, Tribeca. We've always made our career for almost two decades successful without any of that catapult, right? But that's a lot of filmmakers' business plan is, well, I'll just submit it to a festival, It'll get accolades. It'll get picked up, and boom, the world's my oyster. But that is so hard to do nowadays because festivals have, like, they've got sponsors. They've got people involved. Like, those stories you hear, like you mentioned a Tarantino or Robert Rodriguez, almost the last time those have happened was those guys, right? Like, it's very rare right. In the last decade now with digital being making it so much easier to get into the film market. It's so much harder to get into those markets and get noticed. Or even if you do get in now, there's so much content being made with all the streaming wars that how do you break through the surface and get recognized? And that's something Jode and I always found is like we would find the audience first and be like, man, there is an audience for this that's not being tapped, and we can tap into it relatively cost-effective to make sure that the number that really impresses distributors, investors, is it's not what festival you get in, it's not what awards you win, it's that if they put in their money, they get their money back with interest. Then they're like, what are you doing next? Here's the check without thinking about it, right? Which so many filmmakers forget. Because we go to Sundance almost every year. My parents have a place there, and there's tons of films that get in there that never get released, or if they do, nobody watches them. They don't get any, they don't make any have any kind of commercial success. So you've got to think about that as a filmmaker. Is if you want to continue to have longevity and make it a career and not a hobby, then you've got to make sure that you are satisfying both aspects, that the audience likes it and it's getting critically, you know, acclaimed, but that it also makes money for your team so that you continue to go down this path.
Absolutely. That rate on return, man. you know?
Yeah.
People don't just throw money out, you know, and that's what I tell people too, no matter what business, you know, people all the time are, you know, they'll talk to me, and I've been self-employed about as long as you guys have, it sounds like, and you know, they're like, oh, well, we'll just get some partners. And I'm like, well, investors or partners can be, you know, that can be a nightmare or it can be a blessing. I'm not saying it always is, either way, it just all depends. But, I've had both, you know, I will say that. But it seems that you guys are on it. Nobody thinks about that. You know, nobody that I hear talk about it. And you're right. They're oh, we're just going to submit to a couple. And that's, you know, that's a whole other thing that people learn. It ain't free to just submit to festivals either. You know?
Yeah, it's expensive.
You got to write a check. Or lots of checks, you know, I mean, that can eat up a budget, but you guys, you know, it's cool that, you guys were able to have this in place and you have a track record where you can bring people on board as far as, investors and whatnot. You know, they know what you can do. They've seen it, you know? And so when a project like Inmate Number One comes along, boom, everything's in place. Very smart. Very smart. I'm digging that.
Thanks.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So
No, go ahead, James.
Go ahead. Oh, I was.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, you know, this is such a cool subject, you know, and you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, people who do find out the story of Danny Trejo, you know, I mean. Yeah, you can't write that kind of stuff. That is, he's had a crazy life, in a good way. You know, turned it around and everything. And
yeah.
I think that's an amazing.
Well,
people like hearing that.
Well, I think especially with what's going on in the world right now, we need a little bit more Danny Trejo, right? Of someone that, you know, grew up in horrible, you know, circumstance. No, I wouldn't say horrible, but you know, he came from the generation that the father works hard. And that's what he does for the family, his job. And it's a line from the film. He's like, my job is to support this family. Don't ask for anything else, right? Don't ask for me to come to your baseball games. Don't ask for time. When I come home, it's my time. You know, similar to my grandfather was the same, right? You work hard, and when you come home, kids are to be seen and not heard, and you don't deal with any of the problems at the house. So Danny, you know, really migrated to his Uncle Gilbert, right, who really taught him a life of crime. And that was his male role model because his Uncle Gilbert had beautiful women and cool cars and always had money. And he was like, wow, that's what I want, right? And his uncle was a really well-known gangster in Pacoima that really taught him, like, you know, got him into drugs and showed him how to do armed robberies. And then Danny being able to turn his life around, right, and not, you know, end his life as a product from his circumstance, you know, with the tensions going on in the United States right now, I mean, obviously we didn't time it like this, but a message like Danny's, like, really, with all the negative stuff and stuff on TV, I think Danny's story is really going to resonate with a lot of people that, you know, and he prides himself on the reason everything turned around is because everything good that happened to him was a direct result of helping somebody else. Everything, he says.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
He narrows that down to the moment he got out of prison, to the moment he got his landscaping company going, to the moment he got on his first movie set. The Hollywood Reporter just released a story about how he got onto his first movie set was that he was just jumping into bed, turning on Johnny Carson, and he got a call from a sponsor because he was a drug counselor for 15 years after prison. And he said, I'll be right there. And he wound up on the set of the movie. By going to help somebody else, his movie career started. And of course, when they saw his face, they're like, oh, can you play an extra? And they're like, what do you need me to do? He's like, can you play an inmate? And he's like, no problem. Pretty sure I can do that after being incarcerated for 10 years. So it's, you know, and I think we need more of that instead of everyone trying to be what's in it for me? What can I get? This has happened to me. You know, Danny was like, what can I do for others? And in helping others, doors open for him. You know, we forget that so often in, like, thinking of me, 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 I want more, want this. So I know after just even being on set with Danny, you know, our whole team would drive home after a day and we'd all just be like, man, we're pieces of shit. We could do so much more for other people after we see what this 76-year-old man is doing for everybody every day. Like, even as we're just driving, filming, right, he'll see a homeless guy and he'll want to get him lunch and he'll want to give him some thermals that are brand new in his car or, you know, try to help him out. And I'm like, man, we could do so much better. And to say you're too busy or you've got kids or whatever, Danny's got three kids. He's the busiest 76-year-old I know, and he makes time to help other people. Even during this pandemic, he's been making meals for, you know, first responders and going down and personally handing them out, you know, 500 meals or 1,000 meals. So you can always find ways to be better. And I know he inspired our team to try to be better than we are.
Well, and you guys, that'll just funnel right on down the way, hopefully. You know, like you said, the world needs more of that. And I certainly, like the movie releases in about a week, right? July 7th, as I understand
it? Correct. Correct.
That's cool. So is it going to be released on streaming, like video on demand, or are you guys doing a theatrical release? How is that? Because I was kind of confused on that.
Sure. Well, it's going to be on VOD, so all the major platforms like iTunes, Google, Vudu, that's where you'll be able to see it. There was conversations about a theatrical component, but due to the times, it just did not come together. We had to cancel those plans. There will be a special Q&A, on the July 7th with Danny, that if you purchase it, you'll be able to have this really exclusive session with him and some other guests that we have planned through IGN. If you go to the Trejo Doc Facebook or social channels, you'll be able to get those details. So we're doing a little bit of a fun component attached to it. However, yeah, would have loved to have done a bigger splash, but, you know, we're still happy where things are sitting.
The reason I was asking is, number one, I want people to get the information, but number two, I think the more people get the message, that positive message, you know, it's just like you guys said, it's going to spread out globally, and that's a good thing right now, you know.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yep.
I'm very, very excited.
Right on.
And you guys made this happen. You know, how cool is that? You know, very, very cool. Well, gentlemen, I know we're up against the time. I actually kept you a little longer than I said I would. I apologize about that. I know you guys are real busy, but you're fascinating. And I could talk to you for a couple hours, easy. I can't wait for the next project. What is the next project, real quick, before I let you go? Are the gears turning for that already?
Oh,
are we just focused on
inmate
number one?
Yeah, so we're really close to being finished with Michael Bisping's documentary called Bisping. Bisping is the first UK champion in UFC history. Without giving away all the spoilers, if there ever was a real-life Rocky story, when you see the injuries and what Michael Bisping had to overcome, his story is the real-life Rocky story, only that he's British. And then we're also in, we just started production of Phil Heath, the bodybuilder, seven-time Mr. Olympia, one of the greatest bodybuilders of our generation. We started doing his, but again, COVID has kind of thrown hooks into all these things because we can't travel to the United States and stuff right now, so... you know, but we will, luckily Bisping's almost done. We should have it done by the end of July, and we're hoping to premiere at festivals in the fall or maybe release with Universal again if Jode can really kill things again. No pressure, Jode.
None taken.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, that is so cool. Well, I can't wait to have you guys back again and talk about the next project and how successful Inmate Number One was. We'll all smoke cigars and laugh about that. Cool. I'm just going to say, you guys know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because you're real good at it. This is the way it's supposed to be done. You know, I'm impressed.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. We hope if Inmate crushes it like anything does too, then the whole button. It looks like we'll be able to at least do it for another 5 to 10.
Nice. Nice. Well, see, there you go.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
Very, very cool. Well, again, folks, we have links up to all of the Inmate Number One, or Inmate One, The Rise of Danny Trejo documentary. We have links to all the websites, the social media, et cetera. Where you can find out more information and, how to purchase and whatnot. I imagine, I'm not sure on this, but if it's going through video on demand and all that, like iTunes and everything, people can probably pre-order, I'm thinking?
Yep. You're in the U.S., you can pre-order right now. If you're outside of the U.S., it's actually already available. And I noticed we're one of the top five docs in the UK right now, so it's doing very well over there, and hopefully we keep that momentum up in the US in a week from now.
Awesome. You guys are killing it. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of you guys' busy schedule. I know you guys are just wicked busy and, you know, looking at all the numbers rolling in and everything. Very, very exciting. Thank you guys for taking time to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
No Thanks, problem, Jamie. Yeah, looking forward to speaking with you again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait, too. I can't wait, too. Thanks, guys. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Jode Cardinal, Adam Scorgi, inmate number one, the Rise of Danny Trejo documentary. Very, very cool. And the website's very easy to find, inmate1.com. And it's Trejo Doc at Twitter and Facebook as well. Like I said, we have links to those. And after we convert the show, this episode, to a podcast, those links follow because we're on a whole bunch of podcasting platforms and whatnot, like over 250 of them. And they all have a little button on their player. So you just hit that and it'll get you right there. And, you know, pre-order the film, or if you're outside the U.S., Jode was saying, you know, you can watch it. You can get it, you know, today. How about that? How about that? Very, very cool. We will be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a fantastic singer-songwriter on. She's got a brand new track out. The singer we have on tomorrow, I'm scrolling through right now because I can't remember how to pronounce her last name. And I've posted a million things on Facebook. Oh, here it is. Annie Stella. How did I forget that? Anyway, she did a song that's she's got a new song out, and it's called The Weight of Life, and it's about after she had a child, and she experienced some postpartum depression and whatnot and got over that, and that's what this new EP she's got coming out is about. So that's going to be an interesting conversation tomorrow for, you know, all those who might relate to that or what have you. Very, very cool. This episode today's episode will be converted to a podcast, pushed on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms. Like I said, we're on a whole ton of them. The big one, of course, is Apple Podcast. If you are listening to the show in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor, hit that ratings and review. It doesn't cost anything, keeps us up at the top of the page, and boy, do my advertisers dig that. Makes my life a lot easier. So I appreciate it. We will see you next time. Thanks again, gentlemen.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.